Welcome to Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here. Hello, everybody. Hi, Virginia. Are you here, Virginia? Okay, that's odd. Can everybody else hear me? Did you guys hear the intro? Is it me? You know, I'm starting to panic. Are we going to have one of those days again? Because I can't hear Virginia. Okay, good. Someone can hear me. Virginia, I have you clicked as you're on, but I can't hear you at all. I'm going to have you call in again. And while we wait for that, I will just start. We decided that on this show we're going to talk about the energies that we can feel from places, people, or even material objects. See, now I'm all flustered. I'm going to stumble on my words till Virginia's back here with me. I find it fascinating that you can, like, meet someone and you just feel that you know them, or you get a reaction. Kate, let's see if Virginia's here now. Hi, Virginia.
Hi.
Yay!
I don't know what happened.
It's weird. You showed up just like usual, and I clicked on you, and then nothing happened. That's okay. It was your turn to have glitches. That's all.
Yeah, it was my turn, darn it.
So I just started talking, and I started off with how we can meet someone and feel an instant energy from them, whether it's a connection or it's, you know, we don't like them.
Run for your life.
Yeah. Because you know them. You know them on a soul level. And you have this instant reaction, even though you've never met them before. I find that so fascinating.
Right. And that's even like just, it's maybe not even knowing it to the depths that you and I or people like us know it, but even just meeting someone and knowing that there's something very familiar about them, like something just as simple as that, right?
Yes.
I know, I don't think that
Uh-oh.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, good. I thought maybe we could head out again.
No.
All right.
I had to fix my my clip on my microphone, and I got distracted. No, it's a new moon. I was going to say, is it a full moon? It's a new moon. See, it is my turn.
It is. Yes, new moons get you. Okay, so I was trying to decide or think of the most interesting time I met someone and I felt an instant connection. And there's been a few.
Well, I mean, you don't have to include me in the list, Shannon, because that's just a given.
That is true. I was thinking in-person people. We'll talk about online people, too, because that for sure happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Actually, when I met my banker, when I walked into her office, and I looked at her, and I just felt like I knew her. And I'd never met her before. We'd only lived in the area a short time, and she actually ended up being my first official client. Isn't that fascinating?
That is pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a specific one for me, too, where someone really, really stood out, you know?
I know, it's hard.
It is. So I think it happens so often that it's hard to think of, like, a really big one.
I agree. Because, you know, whenever you meet somebody, you get all these energy hits.
Right.
And you're checking them out. Yes, and they do with us, too. And we process those all to see if, you know, they're an energetic match with us or if maybe they're not.
You know, it's interesting when I met my husband, actually.
Okay.
The very first time I ever met him, I didn't even talk to him yet. He was having a party at his house. I went with a friend. He was in a band at the time, and they were playing in the basement, and he was singing. And I sat down with my friends downstairs, and they were already playing music, so I never had gotten a formal introduction yet, but I remember being very captivated by him and thinking to myself, like, I need to meet him. And
cool.
Now I'm married to him.
That's fun. That's really fun.
I don't know, I'm trying to think, you know, like I said, it happens so often. You know, I'll meet someone and I will pick up on something, or they just seem so familiar, or, you know, I guess one of my classmates is a good example of a recent one. My classes are online, and naturally we met online, and it was our very first class, the very, very start of school, and we started, I don't know, they wanted us to kind of introduce ourselves and stuff, and so we did, and instantly I gravitated to him and said, hey, I know we need a partner for this class, let's just partner up. That was, like, my first conversation with him, and now, you know, 7 classes later, we are, you know, we've decided we're being partners in every class that we're in from here on out because we've got such a great connection. And the more we talk to each other, the more I see in him why I was so drawn to him, because he is also empathic and he is also intuitive. And, you know, he's not very as aware of his gifts, but I can see why, you know, I had that pull and why I instantly wanted to partner up with him and work with him.
Nice.
Yeah.
And don't you think that energetically we just gravitate towards those people that are kind of, you know, along the same wavelength, even if neither of us is aware of it yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're learning how to develop these abilities or figuring out what they mean, we just seem to attract or meet up with the right kind of people, don't we?
Yes. And even sometimes those people aren't necessarily people who we remain friends with for a long time, but it's
right.
We become close with them at that moment or during that time frame because we're learning something that we need to learn right now.
Yes, both of us.
Right.
It doesn't mean that it's, like, you know, all sunshine and roses. It could be you're learning things that are a little bit uncomfortable, too.
Right. Like, a big lesson for me recently, and we talked about this a little bit last week, is I really have to be more careful with who I share my energy with.
Right. You can look at your energy like money. And decide where you want to spend it.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
Because we tend to be, you know, more aware of where we spend our money and watch it
right.
And are conscious of it. Yeah. So think of your energy the same way.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great way to look at it. What about like, places? Like, I mean, I was trying to think of this earlier, and I think this is such a broad spectrum when it comes to places, because it could be like a building, it could be a town, it could be, you know what I mean? For
right.
Empathic people, you walk into a hospital and you're like, oh, I can't take this, you know, like, so it can, I was just trying to think of, like, where I'm most affected, and so many things started running through my head that I'm like, I'm not even going to write it down. It's too much.
I know. There's so much about that. And even different kinds of places. Even areas.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go to an area and you'll feel uncomfortable, and then you find out later what actually happened there. I was trying to think of one.
There is a place near my dad's house that it's not even a place, it's just a road. And I remember one time we were going to my dad's and we were driving down this specific road, and all of a sudden I just started not feeling too well. You know, like I get that little bit of anxiety going on, and I was like, man, something is off. And right when we passed a certain section of it, I felt fine. And so then the next time we went, I said, all right, I'm going to pay attention, closer attention to myself, and see if I start having symptoms again near somewhere down this road. And sure enough,
okay.
And it happened sooner, and it happened stronger. And I was like, I told my husband, I said, Ken, something's not right here. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, something is not right here. Like, there's somebody, they've found somebody in this area, or somebody's going to be found. And I told him, you know, I thought it was a female and what I thought happened to her. And he's like, oh, I'm sure lots of people have been found over here. And I was like, you know, do you ever give me credit? I'm trying to say specifically. He's like, well, yeah, this is a desolate road. I'm sure they find all kinds of things. I was like, forget it.
Did you ever find out?
No, I did try, like, researching. I should have you look. You are the queen of finding everything online. I find nothing.
Oh, I can. Yes, you should have me. You should put me on that.
I should, because I tried looking, and I couldn't find anything specific.
Hmm.
So I would be very interested to know. So I'll give you the details later.
Okay. There's a lake near here. When I was on the rain show and they're asking me about lakes, and I'm like, no, there's no lakes. There's lakes all over here. I just don't like them, so I ignore them. But there's a lake here that's on the main highway, and it's headed towards Jasper, the mountains from us.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we're driving, I can tell when we get close to that lake because I get really, really nauseous. Now, saying it's a lake apparently is giving it a little more credit than it deserves, because it's not like one of those nice beachy lakes. It's more of like, I think that's a lake that if you drop something in there, it's gone forever. It's kind of swampy underneath. Anyways, every time we get close to it, I can just tell where we are, because I get really nauseous and uneasy, and I just don't feel well. And then I find out later that, yeah, apparently a lot of things have happened in that lake, and that's where they dispose of things. Yuck, hey.
Oh, yeah.
On that same highway, but on a side kind of a road, there's this big, huge building, and it's kind of pinkish. And the first time we drove by it, I almost had to pull over and be sick. I don't know what went on there or what, I don't know, but, man, it just creeps me out. Huge.
Yeah,
huge, huge.
That doesn't sound fun.
But then it makes me wonder, well, what happened? And I've asked a few people, and nobody really knows.
Yeah,
it was probably a long time ago.
That's one of those things where you want to know, but you need to find out from other sources, because you don't want to try and figure out yourself. You don't want to, like, tap into your intuition. Because
no.
It's making you feel that sick just passing by it. Oh, my gosh, you know? You don't want to do
that. That's a good
point.
Because we can get answers by tuning in and tapping in, but when it's places like that, you just don't want to.
No. No, not at all. And, okay, I'm feeling a little pushed to talk about this one.
All right.
I'm so scared.
Okay. I know you're nervous. It's okay. You can tell us about it.
My stomach just turned thinking about it. So there is this place, probably about 25 minutes from where I live. It's a house. And It's a very, very old house. It has a lot of history. It's been bought, and it's now kind of, it's not a museum, but, it, you know, they give tours of the house and stuff. And
okay.
They do a lot of, like, paranormal research groups will go there and lead tours there. And, you know, the house does its own tours and blah, blah, blah. So my cousin Michelle, one day, I don't even remember how it came about, but she said, oh, I heard about this house, and it's supposed to be haunted, or this or that is supposed to have happened, you should check it out. So we are talking to each other. We were either on the phone or chatting online, and we were both looking up, I think we were on the phone, we were both looking up the website and looking at pictures of the house and stuff, because they have pictures. And, my chest just got tight. And
okay, I'm going to interrupt you for 1 second.
Yeah, I just saw that. I'm doing it.
Okay, good. It will help you.
And there is something very, very terrible about that place. I mean, just from the pictures online,
okay.
I'm not kidding, something, like, jumped out at me and was
Yikes.
In my home. Yes. And I was so scared. And this was when I was, you know, coming more into my gifts and not really sure how to go about navigating, you know, how to get rid of anything.
Right.
And I just kept hearing in my head, get your Bible, get your rosary, get like, and that scared me even more, because I think of a Bible, I think exorcism. Like, I was freaking out at this point.
No doubt.
And I told my cousin on the phone, I said, I got to go. I'm really freaking out. I got to go. And then I get off the phone with her, and I go around the house, and I feel it here. I feel it following me, and I'm like, I can't do this. So finally I decided to just cower in bed, because I don't know what else to do. And we have this armoire in the bedroom, and it has little hooks on it. And from one of the hooks, I have this little angel that my grandma made. It's like a cray paper type angel thing. It's just a simple thing. My grandma always made little things like this. And I've always had it hanging near my bed. And when we moved in here, I put it in there, so it was still in the bedroom. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding, as I lay in bed, a spark came from that angel, and instantly the energies in the house were calm. So I really think that my grandma stepped in and cleared it for me, because I didn't know what else to do. But that was the scariest crap I have ever experienced.
No.
And yes, Sue, it did. It was over the internet. I was looking at pictures of the place online.
So do you think you picked up an energy from it? Like, how powerful is that, hey?
I think it jumped. I don't think I picked it up. Maybe I did. I was looking at this one of the rooms, and I kept going back to it. I kept telling Michelle, I'm so uneasy about this. Something about this one room I don't like. It doesn't feel good. And she was agreeing. And it was something from that room. I may have picked it up. It may have jumped out at me. I don't know, but it was really, really scary stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that I don't know how to say her last name, but it's a JBR name in the chat room. Just asked if they can call in, and yes, they can. And I know there's some people who aren't in the chat room. I'm like, well, do you need the number? If you need me to repeat the number, I will. Otherwise, it's at the top of the page, but I'll just type it in there. Sorry, Shannon, what were you saying?
I was going to say, isn't that really crazy how that jumped out at you over the internet? Like, that's
yes.
another reason to be careful where you spend your energy, right?
Yes.
And why I love the smudge spray.
Right. And if something doesn't feel right, don't stare at it like I did. Walk away from it.
That's funny.
No, I mean, who does that?
Who does that? Yeah, but you were just learning about all of this. See, now you wouldn't even. You'd get that little hit, and you'd be out of there so fast.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I would
but when we're
run
just
for the hills.
Trying to figure it out, right?
Yes.
Well, we have a caller. Let's click and see what they have to say to us.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
How you doing? This is John.
Hi, John.
Are you guys a psychic?
We are. We don't do readings, though. We are sharing stories and experiences.
Dang, because I had a question. Can I still do the
No, we're not a reading
voice?
Show.
Okay. What can you do for me then?
Well, what can you do for us? We're talking about the energies of places and people. So do you have any stories about where you went anywhere and it was really cool or really creepy? Or people that you've met?
Well, been in Nevada. It was pretty creepy there. Kind of throw bad energy around me. Yeah.
Well, tell us more.
Well, just a lot of creepy white folks, that's all.
Is there places that you don't like to go that kind of creep you out? Or just people?
Yeah. Just places and people.
Huh.
I think that happens to all of us, right?
Yeah.
True.
And should I call back for a reading or just wait?
No, we don't do readings at all. That's not the type of show that we have. We're more of helping you develop your psychic abilities. And he's gone.
Well, you can't get what you want from us. I guess you just leave, right?
That's right. Move on. There's lots of other shows, right, that maybe he'll find.
Yeah.
Oh, and Peaceful Sue. That's why she's so against scary movies and the like. Yeah, me too. I can't watch
them. See, I love scary movies.
No. No.
But I will say I don't watch them like I used to. And I wonder if it's because they're just not, they don't have that creep factor anymore. They seem more about being gory than creepy. But now I wonder if there's more to it, something a little deeper, which is why I haven't watched many scary movies lately, you know, like Paranormal Activity. I've never seen that. I saw the commercials for it, and I've never watched it because I don't want to see that.
Oh, and speaking of commercials, sometimes they put commercials on, like, the TV for movies, and I have to leave the room. I just get freaked out completely. Can't handle it.
Oh, that's so funny.
I am sitting there putting my thumb and index finger together, let me tell you, closing my eyes, saying to my husband, is it over yet? I'm not watching that. Yuck. Creepy.
I do that with, I can't handle, and this doesn't have anything to do with, like, the places or the movies or anything, but I can't handle, like, movies where, or even commercials or television shows where people are, like, severely deformed, like the Hills Have Eyes type things. Like, I can't watch that. It just grosses me out.
Yeah.
And I always have to change it or yell at my husband, can you please put something else on? I cannot watch this.
I'm sitting here with my eyes closed. Can you please go do something with that?
Right.
Funny. And there's some creepy movies that come out. I don't even want the commercials to be on.
But I've always grown up watching that stuff. My uncle always had us watching movies, and we were always watching scary movies. So I've always liked that kind of creep factor and, you know, the whole scary movies. But they're so different now than they were 15, 20 years ago, you know. They're not as I can't even say in-depth. Like, Halloween is one of my most favorite movies. And there's no movies like that today. You don't get, like, the creep factor of there could be somebody sitting outside your window watching you.
Nice. Do you listen? Do you hear yourself? Yeah, great. Great. I just got over my fear of the dark the last couple of years. Not at it again.
I knew it. I was about to say it. You could hear me laughing, couldn't you? You could hear the giggle come out. I didn't mean to scare you. I am literally crying.
Someone is a bit of a brat today. It's okay. I have a dog. He'll keep me safe if I have to go outside.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I didn't mean that. I realized what was happening because it was already coming out and it was too late. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's okay.
I'm wiping the tears.
I have a lot of protection. Only the nice creatures can join me. The rest aren't allowed.
Okay,
I'll put
the cats
outside first.
We'll change it to a lighter subject, like of places we've gone that have been good feelings, right?
Okay. Well, when we were ranch shopping, we did like a ghost hunter thing. We ended up looking at three because we lived 7 hours away, so we were on a time limit. And, yep, the one that we're in, that's the one we liked. We liked the land, actually. The house was okay, not, you know, wonderful, but it was the land. We loved the land. And we actually didn't even go to the coolest pasture that we have. I don't know why. I think because he had cows in there at the time. But, yeah, once we were here and felt this energy, yep, we knew we wanted to live here.
That's nice how it works out like that. They kind of had a similar thing with where we're at, you know, when we were looking around and, you know, Ken, my husband, thinks that I'm, you know, kind of quick to make a judgment call or something, but really I'm just picking up on the vibe of the place. And when we came here, I mean, right away I said, all right, we'll take it. You know, like everything just kind of felt right and seemed right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because some places you go into, and on paper it seems like it should be right, and the price is right, but you walk in and you just know you can't live there.
Right. I mean, and we had looked at some other places, and there was one place we looked, and it was gorgeous. And it was a very old place, and the architecture inside was so amazing, and there were so many cool things in it. And then they took us downstairs to show us, you know, the basement and the laundry area, and as we were walking down the stairs, I started feeling it, and I said, we are not moving here. I don't know what is in this basement, but we are not moving here.
Not.
Like, New Orleans is a great example for me. I'd never been there. Well, I've been there now, only one time, but, you know, growing up, I'd never been there, and I remember reading about it, and thinking, this is a place I need to visit. I need to see. I was reading a fiction book, and they talked about the French Quarter and the bayou and stuff, and I just felt like, man, I can't wait to see this place, you know? And so I finally did visit in my 20s, and, I mean, I literally felt like I was home when I got there. Having it being first time I'd ever been there, for me to feel so comfortable and so at peace and so at home, and you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I don't know. That's never happened before.
That's cool. Would you ever consider moving there?
If it wasn't so humid in the summer months, I would already live there.
Nice. That's interesting.
But I struggle with the humidity. I just cannot breathe when it's too humid, so I can't be there. Unfortunately, otherwise I would. I love it. I was so, like, for being in a brand new city for the first time, it was strange how aware I was of my surroundings and how I kind of knew where everything was at and where to go. And I mean, that's so abnormal, you know. I used to get lost in my own neighborhood. How do I go somewhere completely foreign and know exactly where I'm at, you know?
Very cool. Well, we have another caller.
All right.
Click and see. It's always like a mystery, hey, waiting. Hi, caller.
Hello, this is Sue. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. How are you doing, Sue?
Oh, just wonderful. I have a story about a place I visited that really had a big effect on me.
Okay.
Okay. When I went to Hawaii with my girls years ago for their marching band, we went to Pearl Harbor and to the museum there.
Ooh.
And they had this display there that had actual things like from one particular soldier who had lost his life, or sailor. And they had all of his stuff in a display case. And they had, like, a letter from his, like, that he had written to his mom or something on display there as well. And I tell you what, that emotion just, flew over me, and I was just sobbing in the middle of all these people because I could just feel the sadness around the whole event. It was really, really powerful.
Wow. Was the whole museum? Could you feel things in different places?
No, just in front of that one display.
Wow, hey, that's interesting.
I felt like I was feeling like the mom's grief when found out that her son had died. It was just really overpowering. And I was around, you know, like 500, you know, like high school kids were in there. And there I was standing with all these kids that were just like not feeling a thing, you know, and I was just crying. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I had to go outside.
You're asking your girls, what's wrong with your mom?
I know, really. But, yeah, I think definitely things have, you know, residual energy on them that stays with them no matter how old they are. I mean, that was like, they were like 60 years old, the items in there, but they still had that much power. Just, and even through the glass, you could feel the energy of the people coming off them. It was really powerful.
Oh, I agree. And I think, Sue, you are probably really good at feeling the energy of things because you're an avid, like a thrift store shopper. Like, you like to go and you like to look around
honestly,
and see all the old
some
things.
Malls and, yeah. So
yeah.
That's basically how I pick out things when I'm shopping is the energy on them. You know, there's a lot of things that call out to me that, you know, aren't that, might not be that exciting to some people, but they just have a good energy, so I pick them up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And some things just have an icky energy in there, don't they?
Oh, yes. And I don't know. Maybe I've just learned to block it, but I've heard a lot of intuitives say they cannot go into antique malls and things because they pick up too much of the bad energy. But that's only happened to me once recently where I had to leave an antique mall because I just started getting this, like, migraine headache thing going on just from being around certain things. But,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd share my story about Pearl Harbor with you.
Well, thanks. That was an interesting story.
Yes, it
You're
was.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Thanks for telling everyone about your sobbing in front of 500 high school
I know. I told the whole world now. I'm not shy. I don't care. See you guys later. Bye.
I can go into thrift stores sometimes, but not all the time. It's too busy energetically for me. I can just feel everybody's energy and all the stuff, and I yikes.
And I find that with almost any store, but with any type of thrift store, it is a little heavier because there's so much history in a lot of the items that are there. So
yes,
it makes it a little worse. But, and, you know, that's another thing. It's just shopping, going into a store, going into public places can be kind of tough for empaths, right?
Right.
My husband doesn't understand why I beeline for what I need and get out as fast as I can when I go to a store. He likes to walk up and down all the aisles. He likes to check everything out. And I'm like standing at the front door, tapping my foot, blinking my eyes, like, are you done yet? Oh.
That's funny. I can go if I energetically prepare myself. Then I'm good.
I try, and sometimes it just isn't enough.
True. Yep, and then it'll get to a point, and I'll feel energy in my, like, I have to shake my fingers to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll be sitting in the restaurant. We went for supper the other night. We went early because we didn't have lunch, and me and Brent and the kids were sitting in there, and we had finished eating, and we were just about getting ready to leave, and some people walked in, and, man, their energy was crazy. I don't know what was going on with them, but it was sure sad, and we had to leave.
Oh. Well, it was a good thing you were done eating, right? You were getting ready to leave as it was.
Yes, we were getting ready to leave, and I'm like, oh, no, we got to go. We really got to go. Yeah, it's interesting how sometimes that happens.
Have you ever visited a place that you felt kind of connected to, or like a not like a building, but you know, like a town or a new city or something like that?
Well, when we were in the process of moving here, like I said, it was 7 hours away. We drove over this bridge, which I can't stand. It scares me, but I recognized it from my dreams, and I knew
oh,
we were
really?
Going to live here. Yeah. Of course, in my dream, in one of them, I went off the bridge. So yeah, I don't
oh my
drive
gosh.
On the bridge. I know. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
See, I don't drive on that bridge, and if we do have to go on it, they're actually fixing it. They're changing it. I'm like got like super, I don't know, we're covered in whatever kind of protection I can give us because it just freaks me out.
That's interesting. I wonder if there's some kind of connection with bridges because I have a hard time with bridges as well. Just bridges in general, I get kind of lightheaded and if I'm driving, I have to roll the windows down and speed.
Really?
Yeah. And if I'm not driving, I have to roll the windows down and close my eyes. Yeah. There's been times I've been driving and closed my eyes.
Yikes.
I just couldn't watch.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad mine's not that severe. I don't know. I don't know if there is something about bridges.
It makes you kind of wonder, though.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. I have
you
to do some research on that, see what we can find out.
Well, you do the research because you find everything.
I will. I will research bridges.
And when we were in New Orleans, actually, we passed our exit. And first we got off on the wrong exit. Then we came back on and then we passed our exit. And we had to go over the really big, long, scary bridge. And if you've ever seen any pictures of New Orleans, you know the bridge because that bridge is in almost every picture. And
okay. They
were doing construction on it while we went. So they had half of it, like, covered in tarps and stuff. And I'm like, is this really happening? And there's, like, sparks flying everywhere. And so it's all down to just two lanes. And so we get over it and we realize we've now passed our exit and we have to turn around and get back on it.
Oh,
I
no.
I was going to die. I couldn't take it. Bridges are very, very scary.
That's so interesting. I wonder if anybody else has any weird bridge things or do bridges scare you? I'm going to for sure research that. See what happens.
I was already scared of bridges before I saw the Mothman Prophecies. Is that the name of it? Did you ever see that movie?
Are you kidding? Of course not.
It's really not scary. Okay,
sure. Can you feel the disbelief in my voice?
It's not scary in a scary aspect. It's just scary. Like, it's more of like a psychological thriller, and I think it's more of a metaphysical topic because it's people that say that
they saw this
thing flying in the air, and then something terrible would happen, and so they just started calling this thing the Mothman because they didn't know what it was, you know, but it was kind of as big as a person, but it had wings. And
did it have Nicolas Cage in it?
Oh, I don't remember.
I might have seen that, actually.
I want to say it was Harrison Ford, but I'm not 100% sure. And I guess at some point in the movie, they see the Mothman flying overhead and people are on this bridge and part of the bridge collapses or something.
Okay, no, I haven't. Maybe I haven't. So how did you handle that?
I wasn't that much of a fan in any time since then. I had never seen, like, those really big moths before in my life. And then I see this movie, and now all of a sudden I see them from time to time, and I panic every time I do.
See, that's why I don't watch scary movies. The power of suggestion.
Oh. It actually is a good movie.
Okay.
You know, you don't even have to watch the movie. You can just Google Mothman, and I bet you find the information.
Okay.
But you probably won't, because I don't see you doing it.
No, you're right. Good hit. I'm not doing it.
I don't know. But it's one of those, like, urban legend type things, you know?
Okay.
Is what I would liken it to if I had to.
I'm still thinking about bridges now. I'm kind of fascinated by that. But what else? What about pictures? You know what's something cool that happens to me? Is that I will see on Facebook some friends of some of my friends or people that I know, and I will get a hit that they're going to call me and come and see me, and usually within 6 months they do.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that fun?
That is.
And then I sort of giggle, yeah, I knew you were going to call. It doesn't happen with everybody, but it happens often enough that, yeah, it's pretty fun. Or even, like, Twitter pictures. I saw Molly's picture. I see she's got her Conscious Cool Chic radio in the chat room, and I felt like I recognized her, and that's when I got the astrology reading from her.
That's pretty interesting.
Yes. So when you have pictures on your Facebook page or your Twitter page, you are sending out energy, people.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that when you put your picture up.
So make sure they're happy pictures.
Yes.
I just looked up the movie, and Richard Gere was in it.
Okay. I think I might have actually seen it, but I think it might have been one of those ones where part of it I was hiding under the blanket or something, because, yeah.
Well, then I take it it's safe to say you've never seen, like, The Exorcist or anything like that.
Are you kidding? The very energy of that movie scared me.
Oh, no. I watched it when I was younger, when I was a teenager. So I don't think I would watch it today, that's for sure.
No, I don't even know how old I was, but my family was all watching it. We just had a little house, and I was terrified. I wasn't even watching it. And my bedroom was up the stairs, and I was terrified to go up there.
I don't blame you.
I wanted them to shut the TV off and quit it so that I didn't have to be scared anymore. Of course, they didn't. Oh, see, can you feel my energy? I'm all, it scares me today.
I was like, pricklies on my arms.
Yes. It still scares me. When they, I don't know, they were talking about it on TV or something one time, or, I don't know, talking about redoing it, even those scared me. There is something about that one that totally freaks me out.
Well, isn't it supposed to be based on a true story? That's probably the part that really freaks you out.
Probably. Ugh.
See, when we were kids, we'd always watch movies with my uncle, and of course, more times than not, it was scary movies, and it was funny to him for us to be scared. Like,
really?
All of us kids would be laying on the floor with our sleeping bags and pillows watching the movie, and then it would be, like, a really quiet, intense, like, suspenseful part of the movie, and if a TV guide or a slipper or a pillow, whatever was in his reach, got thrown at you as he yelled.
Oh, no.
Scared the crap out of everyone.
I would have been screaming for sure.
Oh, we all did.
Ugh, yuck.
And he used to, you ever see, no, why am I asking you? I know you didn't.
Why are you asking? Like, no. Let me tell you, no.
Nightmare on Elm Street with Freddy Krueger. I remember one time we had two lines in our house, two phone lines, and he called one phone line from the other and
you're kidding.
Told me I had a phone call and then pretended to be Freddy Krueger on the other line. there was a lot of terrorizing in our family.
No doubt.
That's okay.
I'd have been curled
with everyone else's kids.
I'd have been curled up in the fetal position. Yeah, no. I always had a cat just to protect me from all that kind of stuff.
Maybe that's why I have two now. We didn't have any then.
Yuck. Can we just talk about something positive now?
Absolutely.
Enough of your ghoulish movie, Virginia.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, no more scariness. No more scaring Shannon.
Yeah, thanks. Huh.
It's all make-believe.
I promise. That's what I tell myself. I just don't watch it. I don't even watch the news. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't really watch the news anymore either. I can't take all the negativity and the yuckiness that they air all the time.
No. Okay, so what about, have you ever picked up something and felt the energies of it? Like,
yes.
Got a history of it or anything? Yes?
Well, I've done that with a picture.
That's
I've held
cool.
a picture and been able to, you know, get a read on the person. It was someone who had deceased, and so I was able to read everything, you know, that had gone on with the person. That's happened before.
That's fascinating.
I always like, the one thing I don't like to touch things for that reason, because I don't want to pick up on certain things, and there's times where I won't even look at people or things because I don't want to pick up the energy.
True.
But my favorite thing to touch all the time is crystals, because I love feeling the different vibrations and energies that I get from them.
Yeah.
Or if I get one at all, you know.
Or animals. Animals are super cool.
I love animals. I love the energy of animals.
There's controversy right now because the Calgary Stampede was just on. And, of course, there are certain groups that disagree with us still having stampedes. So the other night we were watching, and to entertain my children, I tuned into what the bronc horses and the bulls were saying. It was so hilarious. They're happy. The bulls are the funniest. Man, do they have attitude. And they deliberately mess around in the chute to scare the cowboys so that they can buck them off easier.
Oh, no.
And some of them, and they can't wait to find someone to chase, too. Because they realize that it makes people happy, like the crowd likes it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really funny.
That is pretty funny.
The young horses that they used for, like, novice bareback and bronc, the kids that are riding are getting used to it, and they have young horses, too. They were funny because they're very energetically putting stuff out there. The older ones that are like the seasoned bronc horses, they're just focused. They know what to do. They wish the cowboys would hurry up and get ready so they could go out and do their job and go have their snack. But the energy between the two is so different. I wish more people could tune in to their energy and find out that the animals are happy and then leave us alone about our stampede.
That's, maybe you should put it out there, Shannon, and you should let them all know.
I did. I wrote a blog. We'll see if it gets anywhere. My 9-year-old says, "You need a microphone, Mom. This is funny." What's that bull saying?
Oh, that's cute.
I thought about doing it and then saying it all on Twitter. But I'm not sure that I want to. Maybe next year. We'll see.
You do like a live animal communication tweeting?
Yeah.
During the stampede? Oh, that would be so fun.
It would be. And I didn't think of it until too late. And then I'd have to get myself in the zone. But yeah, especially for the bulls. because it's funny.
Next year, for sure.
Okay, I'll have to be ready for it. And the only other problem is I watch it on TV because I can't go to the Stampede because there's like way too many people there. It wouldn't be at the same time that the rodeo is happening, but that would still work because there's a lot of people that watch it on TV with us.
There you go.
They were positive energy, and I wish people would leave us alone about it. But
right, because there's no harming of the animals, and there's no abuse or anything like that. And that's probably the argument, right?
Right. Because the very sport of rodeo, they think, is abusive to animals.
I gotcha.
Yes. If they only realized that if it was abusive to animals, the animals would get even.
Exactly.
And there's big controversy about the chuck wagon races because some horses did die. Because they're race horses. They come from the track. They can only run on the racetrack for a certain number of years, and then they get rid of them because either they're bad-tempered or it's the racetrack they should look at because there's some crazy bad stuff that goes on there. Anyways, the chuck wagon drivers buy horses from the racetrack that are no longer being used, and that's what they run. So these horses want to run. That makes them happy. But because they run and they're athletes, sometimes they have heart attacks.
Right. And that makes sense.
Adrenaline rush, that's where the controversy is happening. Because they think that it's abusive to have these animals run and have a heart attack. Do you know how happy they are? Because when they're not running, they're out on green grass being a horse. They're
not
stuck in a little stall. Yeah. Okay, I was just sidetracking myself from your scariness. I'm done now. I'm off my soapbox about the Stampede.
That's all right. But I agree with you, though, on just animals in general. I love, love, love the energy of animals. They're so, for the most part, they're so, you know, pure and innocent, and they're so easy to tune into. Well, for me, it's easy for me to say. They're so easy for me to tune into and know what they're thinking or what their needs are or what they want. And, I mean, I know my husband still looks at me like I'm crazy when I try and tell him, no, this cat that wants this and that cat wants that. And, you know, and he, how do you know? What do you mean, how do I know? I thought we went through this already.
I thought we discussed this. I have a cat that has a potty mouth.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, he's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
That has to be fun.
It is funny. We were sitting around one night, too, and I was tuning into all the horses and telling them and telling my husband about their personalities and what the things that they're saying. And they're all so different, but similar, right?
Mm-hmm. Just like people.
Yeah. It's fun. And don't you find animals, they just have different personalities, and some of them have really bad attitudes and some of them don't?
Mm-hmm. And some of them, sometimes animals are brats just for the sake of being a brat. Just like a spoiled kid is, when you spoil your animal too much, they act out because they're spoiled.
I agree completely.
We have one of those in our family.
And just trying to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
My dog,
I mean, he means well.
But being bratty.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. He's been spoiled his whole life, and he knows it. So when he doesn't want somebody around that could potentially take attention off of him, he gets a little snappy. And so then, you know, people freak out and, oh, we can't have this dog or this cat or this anything around the dog because he doesn't like them. Well, he's a very gentle dog, and he really likes pretty much everyone, but this animal will take attention away, and he's used to having all of the attention. So when we had our dog, it wasn't an issue because our dog was so laid back and didn't care about the attention that there was never a fight for, like, that alpha male spot. And,
okay.
And with, there's another dog in the family, and it's a chocolate lab and a black lab, and the chocolate lab is the one that's very, very spoiled. And the black lab is a little spoiled in his own right, too, but he's a little more putting his foot down than our dog was. And so there's sometimes a little tiny battle between the chocolate and the black lab on, you know, domination. It's very subtle,
funny.
And they never fight, but I see it between them, you know, like a little bit of a struggle because the chocolate lab is just so used to the attention is on him, and that's that, you know.
Like
he's not a bad dog by any means. He's a very good dog. He's very, very gentle. It's just he plays into that brattiness. Like, he knows how to get his way, and you can't fault him for that.
Nope. Funny. Did you ever sit there and tune into him and find out what he's thinking?
Oh, a lot of times I do. Because, especially now, because he's starting to get a little bit older, and so I try to pay a little bit more attention to him when I'm around him because, you know, I just want to tune in and make sure he's doing okay right now and with things that are going on. Like, he started having seizures, and so now he's on medication, and, you know, he's getting a little older now. So we were just there yesterday, and I had to check in with him a little bit, make sure he was doing all right.
Oh,
but the
good.
Funny thing is as he's getting older and he's having some struggles, my father-in-law is also having struggles. And the dog, I watch him put whatever he has going on aside because he's at my father-in-law's side to make sure he's okay. It's really, really cute to watch this with them. Yeah, it's really cute.
That is cute.
Yeah, like he does not leave my father-in-law's side until my father-in-law is sitting down and stable and where he's at and is safe. And then the dog will go about and do his thing, but then he keeps coming back to check, make sure the father-in-law is still okay. And, you know, it's really, really cute relationships that they have.
That is really cute.
Yeah. See, he's a very gentle dog. He just knows how to get his way.
Funny.
Like they say, you can't have him around cats. He doesn't like cats. He goes after cats.
My cats have it figured out that, you know, they have all these tricks they do to my husband in the night to let him know that they would like outside. It's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Because I sleep through it all. They figure it out pretty quickly, don't they?
They are very smart. We could probably do a whole show on animals.
There's a good one.
And
we
how smart
that.
They are and the things that they do.
The things that they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Feeling and thinking? That's a great idea. So we're getting down to our last minute and a half.
All right.
Okay, the lady in my voice just told me 90 seconds. What do you think about the energies right now? I'm finding it thick, really thick.
Yes. There's a lot of heaviness going on
Yeah. Everywhere.
Where at the beginning of the month, it was so much lighter and happier, and oh, we thought we were through that, and now I'm
feeling
like it's just got way thicker, yeah.
And it started like maybe yesterday or the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And wow.
Yeah, yesterday is when it started for me. And it just got worse today.
Yes. Yes. And I can't concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing 14 things at once. Yeah, and it feels thick and pressurized. We thought it was because it was like there's a lot of storms here right now, but I just think it's the energy in the world.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you because I'm feeling it here, and there's not storms here.
So we'll have to see what this one brings out.
Yeah.
It kind of feels cushiony, doesn't it?
Like a padded cell cushiony?
Yeah, like that kind of cushiony. Yes. Like it's, I don't know, like not comfortable cushiony, that's for sure.
Yes, I agree.
Padded cell, great. Well, they're telling me like 5 seconds, so thank you everybody for listening to us and joining us in the chat room. It's been delightful.
And next week we will be talking about...
Isn't that about having a spiritual-based business?
Yes.
Yay! I might be in a different city when I come on next week. We'll have to see how that goes. But yes, we're going to talk about some of the challenges and some of the great things about having a business that's based in spirituality and in doing what you love compared to being very money-focused and... business brain dominated. It'll be fun, though.
I agree.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thanks, Virginia.
Thanks,
Shannon. Even though you scared me. I have to go get
I'll
over
make
it.
It
now.
I'll make it up to you, I promise.
All right. Good night.
Bye.